Hello, everybody. This is Paul Willax with another serving of Brain Food for Business Owners. Our topic today is what to do when the doo-doo gets deep. We'll be offering some specific tips for managing your business in this time of crisis. We've come to learn that financial downturns, environmental crises, civic unrest, and predatory competition can wreak havoc on business owners and entrepreneurs. The unhappy fact is that no enterprise, large or small, has a natural immunity to those kinds of bumps in the night. In today's troubling, turbulent economy, many owners fear that they are on the proverbial slippery slide to oblivion. Sadly, some are. These bad times aren't the bellwether of failure for those enterprise leaders who act quickly and smartly and exploit luck along the way. What is happening today does not have to result in a terminal tragedy. In fact, for many like you, it might be an opportunity to suck it up, move ahead, and lament the loss of some competitors who are not as savvy or determined as you are. So, if you can manage to accept today's travails as a hiccup, take a breath, count to 10, and heed some important experience-based tips that my old Uncle Ollie and I cooked up just for you. They are short and to the point, but they will consume about 15 minutes of your time, so you might just want to digest them in small bites. As Ollie used to say, it's best to eat a cow steak by steak. Here are our brass tacks tips for surviving and succeeding when the doo-doo gets deep. Be concerned, but don't panic. The first order of business should be a reality check. Start your assessment close to home. Assess the big things and the little things that you see as threats. Remember, when out of sight, little tends to become big. Gather your troops together and brainstorm the situation. Structure the meeting on a positive note. No one likes to be part of a losing team. Your goal here is to mutually evaluate and identify the problems and then generate solutions with those who are best able to help. Workers closest to the daily operations and to your customers generally have the best view of what's happening and why. They also can be your best source of ideas for constructive change. But keep in mind, you have to ask for their help and be seriously interested in what they have to say. It's quite possible that a select number of major things, like process configurations, product or service offerings, purchasing procedures, job descriptions, collection and payment practices, and pricing can be changed quickly to produce significant and immediate results. If feasible, also ask your friends, fellow owners, advisors, or retained professionals for their advice. Sit down with your accountant, bookkeeper, or Quicken app and get an exact fix on your firm's present financial condition. Income statements and balance sheets that are 6 months old won't help. You need sales, expense, and cash flow information that is current. Put together a simple but realistic cash flow statement. Get a fix on the cash you will need to keep the lights on and the troops productive. Quickly decide on the most essential and immediately actionable modifications in procedures, product offerings, services provided, staffing, and security that will be necessary to keep you afloat for the near term, say 3 to 10 months. These adjustments will be essential to sustaining your operations and qualifying you for emergency funding if necessary. Monitor your efforts as you proceed to ensure that they will allow for sales, gross margin, and net profit or loss metrics that will sustain your scaled-down enterprise until better times begin. These financial measures are your most important diagnostic tools. make whatever uncomfortable adjustments have to be made to keep your engine on track. Keep a tight rein on inventory and avoid adding to fixed costs. Cut them if possible. If cash is getting scarce, seek out your quickest and least painful way of supplementing it. Friends, family, credit cards, lines of credit, all are potential sources. Your 401k or retirement plan should be your last resort and should only be tapped if you have more than a fighting chance for survival. Government funding programs are also an option. A bank loan, extension, or supplement is another possibility, but make sure you can factually convince the lender that it's possible for you to do what you promise. Also, keep in mind that you will probably be asked to personally guarantee any debt that you or your company incur. Check to see what personal assets are exposed. Your intended cash raise may not be worth the cost of the ticket. Cash flow is your lifeblood, so start a daily log of in and outflows of cash to determine just where your cash is coming from and where it's going, and when the flows are happening. Are your sources of cash adequate, and are your uses of it appropriate? Are the flows meeting appropriately, or is there a timing gap that must be resolved? Consider selling a minority interest in your business to raise cash. Make sure that a prospective cash buyer is somebody you trust, and also create a repurchase agreement that is satisfactory to both the buyer and the seller. For personal reasons, one buyer is preferable to multiple buyers. Forget an ESOP, an employee stock ownership program, at this point. For that kind of a buyout, you need a lot of time and a source of credit, which you don't have now. If you're pessimistic and your personal gusto for the business is waning, consider a complete sale of your enterprise to an enthusiastic entrepreneur or investor who sees opportunity down the line and is willing to expend the time, money, and energy to realize it. A quick sale just might position you and your experience favorably to re-engage your entrepreneurial energies when the current crisis conditions subside. First, try to find out why a potential buyer is optimistic. The reasoning might change your mind. Don't sign anything required by a lender working for Uncle Sam or any other funds provider that you have not dealt with in the past until you check with your attorney, your accountant, and your significant other. Make sure you know what the future downsides might be and what you must do now to preclude them. Speculate about the kinds of post-closing changes in loan terms and conditions that might negatively impact you later. And read the fine print. Don't just assume that things will work out later. You want later to be a happy time. Keep your eye on the break-even point. Your firm's BEP is both a yardage post and a goal post. Most simply defined, your break-even point is the revenue, for example, total sales, necessary to cover your company's total amount of fixed and variable expenses. It will help you gauge your field position between solvency and insolvency, and it suggests how far you have to go to get a touchdown. Most importantly, it can help you focus and evaluate things like sales goals, sales strategies, pricing, product and service mixes, essential costs, especially fixed costs, cash needs, and your firm's creditworthiness. You can find an easy formula for calculating your break-even point on Google. Examine your biggest controllable expense category. In most companies, it's the payroll. Determine where you might be able to combine jobs, reduce hours, increase workloads, and, if necessary, cut jobs. The latter course of action should be executed very carefully. Keep in mind that your highest paid team members may not rank among the most indispensable workers. Layoffs are preferable if every person on your team is essential under normal conditions. However, a crisis might be an opportunity to get rid of some dead wood. Be careful when it comes to furloughing key workers. Some might not be available when you attempt to rehire them. Try to decipher trends in sales. Will your steady customers remain consistent? To what extent will you be able to recover customers that have drifted away? Focus any marketing efforts on current and former customers who have had prior favorable experience with your firm. Determine what elements of your modus operandi you might have to change in order to reattract old customers and recruit new ones. Focus on the customers who are the most responsive and contribute the greatest amount to total sales and to your margins. Keep in mind the Pareto principle, which suggests that 80% of your sales come from 20% of your customers. Examine your sales cycle to see if you can reduce the time from an initial customer contact to the receipt of an order. You might have to do some customer triage using this metric. Police your purchasing. Are you buying at the best price and on the best terms you can get? Your old vendors might not be your best sources in today's circumstances. Comparable alternative vendors might be experiencing cash flow issues and will be willing to offer on-the-spot price concessions. If you really love your existing vendors, don't be afraid to squeeze them a little, in a strictly monetary sense, of course. Examine your pricing policies. Are they in sync with your break-even point, your competitors' current prices, and the circumstances of the day? Promote items with which you can offer a competitive price advantage. A crisis affects supply and demand and pricing, so take advantage of strong demand, but don't gouge. Customers have long memories. Put together an aged payables list to see how much you owe and to whom you owe it. Gauge how far you can stretch your payables without being unfair. You don't want to get a reputation as a notorious deadbeat. That can really hurt you later in better times. Be particularly scrupulous with respect to making on-time payroll tax and sales tax payments for which you are personally liable. Those kinds of payables should get first priority attention, always. Work your social media to keep your customers, friends, fans, and prospects aware of your status and what you are doing to maintain operations at the highest levels. Let them know that you are there and working hard to achieve operations at a better than normal level. Inform them of any changes that might affect them when you make adjustments to your routines. In stressful times, you might consider offering a special product, price, or service to capture their attention and secure their patronage. Bad assumptions can lead customers to unnecessary alternatives. Be sure that you have the right team members doing the right jobs and that they are organized, supported, and motivated to provide the kinds of productivity you need. Staff realignments or reductions might be necessary. Rank your employees according to their essentiality, productivity, and overall performance. Aside from being your most important resource, your employees are generally your largest and most manageable expense. Make special effort to retain those who can contribute to you and do not have any other employment options or sources of income. Consider bonuses for those who are critical to your efforts and who go above and beyond. They are keepers. Get on top of your receivables. Are you collecting quickly enough? Ask your good customers if they can accelerate their payments. Bug those daily who are slow pays. Start out as Mr. Nice Guy and devolve from there. Making sales is one thing. Getting the cash in hand is another. At this juncture, you don't want your receivables to be financing other businesses. Remember, cash is king, and it's sometimes wise to fire a customer. Repeat after me. Cash is king. Cash is king. Cash is king. Finally, while you are implementing some of these tips, keep a low profile with all except your customers, team members, and vendors. There's a lot of turmoil, anxiety, and anger out there in our social and political environments, and you can't afford the time, trouble, and downside that can come from being an active participant, at least not at this point when your nose should be kept to the grindstone. Your time could be better spent speculating about probable future challenges, their timing, nature, and consequences. Obviously, you can't have a complete contingency plan for every possible surprise happening that might emerge, but by cultivating a mindset and a sense of readiness that do not presume everything will be going according to Hoyle, you will acquire a personal flexibility and an informed responsiveness that can pay off handsomely in situations where a rapid response and frequent mid-course correction will be necessary. In the words of Dr. Kent Stevens, a foremost authority on failure avoidance, the best way to achieve success is to determine, as carefully as you can, how you are apt to fail. In fact, it might be wise to heed Murphy's Law and expect the worst while you are striving for the best. Things hardly ever go exactly as planned. But if you smartly engage what comes your way, you might just show that Murphy's Law isn't a law that you have to obey. Good luck and good fortune. And keep tuned to see how you can get a transcript of this presentation. Remember, big cow, small bites. This Brain Food audio book snack has been produced by the Center for Business Ownership, Incorporated, in cooperation with Brass Tax Publishing, an imprint of Electromedia Technologies, LLC. It was written and narrated by Paul Willax. If you'd like more information about Brain Food publications, visit our web portal, www.brainfoodtogo.com. That's BRAINFOODTOGO.com. The Center and the sponsor of this production are distributing this material for general information purposes only and are not engaged in providing legal, financial, accounting, management, or investment advice or counsel. If you need such expert assistance, you should retain the services of a qualified professional. While reasonable care has been taken in the preparation of this content, the Center, its sponsors, and distributors assume no liability for actions taken by recipients using these materials. BookSnack, Brass Tax, BrainFoodToGo.com, and BrainFood are trademarks of the Center for Business Ownership, Incorporated. Thanks for listening.